Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense. Waking up and got the
bills, step across the line. 33 after on this Thursday. Quickly to Frank in DeWitt checking in. Frank, what's on your mind?
Yes, Steve. There were three dramatic things wrong with what that congressman had to say. First, he said that that was a good bill. It was a horrible bill because it didn't get costs down, and that is the vital thing for the people of this country, and it would have been a political disaster for the Republican Party.
All right, two and three.
Yep. Second, the mealy-mouthed excuse he gave you about reconciliation process being, you know, as an excuse not to repeal Obamacare.
I keep hearing that.
The Democrats used the nuclear option to get it through. That's what we can use to get it out.
And finally?
Third, the third one, saying that we can work with the Democrats. You cannot work with the Democrat Party. This is not the Democrat Party of Jack Kennedy. These people, if you want to talk about traitors, they're traitors. The Democrat
Party. All right, we'll leave it right there, Frank, because I got to run. You got your points, and I greatly appreciate that. A lot more conversation on that. We'll have the lines back open here next hour to further any of these conversations, but I want to get quickly to our next guest because of something that has just happened with the president, Donald Trump, rolling back the Clean Power Plan by the EPA and a lot of other rollbacks going on. And I wanted to know how that would affect Michigan and specifically Consumers Energy and their counterparts at DTE potentially. So I have Brandon J. Hoffmeister here, Vice President of Governmental and Public Affairs for Consumers Energy. Brandon, welcome to the program.
Great. Thanks to be with you.
All right. So the Clean Power Plan rolled back. Consumers, you guys are in the process of closing, shuttering several coal-fired power plants. You've already closed several around the state, and more were on the list to be closed by 2020. Is that correct?
Well, we didn't have anything on the list by 2020. You know, DTE and others, our sister utility, made some announcements in the early 2020s that they were going to be retiring some plants. So we retired seven units last year.
All right, and you have no further units to go offline at this time. Is that what you're telling me?
None in the plans, no.
All right, so does this rollback of the EPA help you to maintain existing power plants? Does it change your approach? What does it mean to your utility, to Michigan customers, frankly, going forward?
Yeah, it could, although to be honest with you, it's not exactly clear. Basically, what the executive order did is it said the EPA is going to put the brakes on what President Obama had done with respect to regulating greenhouse gas emissions from the electric sector, but it hasn't yet said what's going to replace that. There was a Supreme Court ruling a few years back that said that the EPA has to do something to regulate these emissions, didn't really say what. And so now it's kind of back to the drawing board under the Trump EPA to figure out what they're going to do. And whatever they end up doing, it's likely to also end up in the courts, as most of these big federal environmental rules do.
Like everything does these days.
It's uncertainty and delay a little bit for a while, which does open up some flexibility for us. You know, but it's not exactly clear. As with many things coming out of Washington, it's, you know, fits and starts, and we don't really necessarily have a comprehensive plan yet.
Right, and it's not just this administration. It's always coming out of Washington, fits and starts, good way to put that. How many coal-fired power plants are still in your network?
We still have five large coal-fired power plants. They power about a quarter of our fleet. So we've already been moving with the retirement of those seven last year. We've made a major move towards more natural gas-fired generation in particular. You know, with the revolution we've had in America with hydraulic fracturing and natural gas supply, natural gas is actually putting a lot of pressure on coal economically. It's very cost-effective to power power people's home with natural gas-fired generation. So we expect that trend to continue. You know, like anything, you want to have a balanced portfolio like you do with your retirement portfolio, and we expect we'll continue to do that going forward as well.
And with that natural gas, when you talk about it here in Michigan, just out of curiosity, Brandon, does that natural gas originate here in Michigan and therefore power Michigan? Does it come out of the ground here and stay here?
A little bit, although most of the natural gas that we've had with this boom in hydraulic fracturing comes actually from Pennsylvania, Ohio area. There's a lot of natural gas that's coming up that way that's feeding Michigan through natural gas pipelines.
And the pricing seems to be pretty steady, pretty even keeled. I mean, the price is pretty safe. And the reason I bring this up is we've had a guest on the program here recently a couple of times talking about what has happened in Ontario. When they closed all of their coal-fired power plants, they didn't really have a backup plan. Some people have seen their electric rates go up 350%, and I think that would pretty much make a lot of Michigan residents just flat out pass out if they saw a 350% increase in their electric bill. So I'm trying to make sure we're not going to see things like that.
No, so we definitely, you know, want to continue to have a balanced plan going forward. You know, natural gas, as I said, has been the prices historically before we had this kind of technological revolution with fracking. Natural gas prices tended to be very volatile. Since that time, they've been very low and very steady. And, you know, barring, again, something happening in Washington, which we don't expect under President Trump, or something happened somewhere else on the regulatory front, we expect natural gas prices are going to be low for a long time. And we're still maintaining a significant percentage of our coal fleet. We built the seven plants that we retired were pretty old. We built them in the 1950s. They were reaching the end of their useful life. And to put on the environmental controls that we would have needed to comply with other environmental rules, not the Clean Power Plan, but some of the other Obama administration rules, just didn't make sense for our customers. It would have cost more to do that than to switch to natural gas and other resources.
So they were older and smaller plants as far as generation capabilities.
So our newer and larger plants, we've invested in world-class environmental controls to comply with those Obama administration rules.
So where are some of these new plants, and what are your plans about creating new natural gas plants? Any plans in the future to build new ones? And if so, where are they being built, and how many, and what's the future for consumers' energy?
What we've been doing, rather than buying a new plant, we've been kind of scooping up deals on used plants. It's like buying a new car versus a used car. So
there is such a thing.
We bought a plant in Jackson, Michigan. Hmm. We're about to have an RFP. We believe there's some existing plants around Michigan that might be willing to sell themselves to us as well. So we're going to go out for a competitive bid here in the next little while where we ask people to make offers to sell us a plant. And so that, I think, is our strategy and our plan going forward is we want to do this as affordably as possible. So if we can get a plant for 30 cents on the dollar than it would cost to build a new one, that's our plan A.
That's a pretty good plan A. Brandon Hoffmeister here from Consumers Energy. I didn't know there were such things available. Just go out and buy a used power plant and retrofit it for natural gas. Is that the plan?
Well, they're actually they are natural gas plants already. So there were a few power plants that are still existing that aren't either owned by DTE or by Consumers Energy, and so we're looking at those first because it's the right thing to do for our customers.
That's interesting. Well, see, I learn things here, Brandon. That's the point of the program. I get to learn things right along with everybody else.
Happy to help.
Well, that's good because what people are concerned about, and I get utilities from both of the big companies for different things, and I get some natural gas from consumers, so it's important that the prices remain level. But those electric prices, you know, what happened in Ontario is frightening to a lot of people, but apparently pretty consistent, pretty steady future in front of us from what you're telling me. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I think that's right. The other thing I want to highlight is I really want to thank the Michigan legislature for passing a comprehensive energy policy last year. Republicans and Democrats, frankly, working together to pass a complicated piece of legislation that ensures that we have enough power to replace these retiring power plants, and we do so in the most affordable way for Michigan and for the customers. So, you know, regardless of what's going on in D.C., the kind of fits and starts, we actually have a really good energy plan here in Michigan. And so it's an example of good government, which we don't see enough of these days.
Brandon Hoffmeister, great conversation. Thank you from Consumers Energy.
Thank you.